Hey teacher, before we start today's episode, I wanted to let you know about my free webinar happening on the 9th of May. If you've been struggling to promote yourself, if you feel like you still have to chase clients and find them, and it's been a struggle and you can't find your own consistency on social media, then this webinar is for you. It's called How to Become a Booked Out Language Teacher, and I'm going to teach you in a very simple way what marketing actually is about and how to create your own way of being consistent and visible so that clients find you and you don't have to chase them. I hope you will come and hope to see you there. The link to sign up is in my show notes. It's completely free. So literally a no-brainer. See you there.
Hi, and welcome to the Get Richer Teacher podcast. My name is Ola, and I'll be your guide and mentor on your way to a profitable, sustainable, but most importantly, enjoyable language education business. And why would you care to do that? To build a business like that? Because there is literally no other way. The language education market is in a bizarre state. Companies making millions in profit yet paying teachers peanuts. Native speakerism is still way too powerful. And finally, the students are bored of the same old formats and messaging telling them to speak like a native. I'm here to shake things up, to educate and motivate a community of teachers who have the courage to build businesses and teach the language on their own terms, both solo or in their own language schools, and have a positive impact on their students and the world, because teachers are superheroes. Let's claim it today.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Get Richer Teacher. And today is another super special one with a super special guest, Michał. Hi, Michał.
Hi, Ola. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for accepting my invitation, and I'm so looking forward to chatting to you about your inspiring story, to how your teaching career started, and all of, and everything in between. So I hope you guys will get inspired and really motivated by what Michał has done. And yeah, let's dive in. So Michał, tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, what you do. So that we've got a tiny bit of context.
Sure. So I like to start with my nationality. I like to say I'm a Polish American. But for me, that means both of my parents are from Poland, but I was born and raised in the States. So English is my first language. And I really struggled learning Polish at home. And in the States, I think it's very normal for people who have a heritage language not to speak it very well, or to just understand it and not be able to speak it. It wasn't until I moved to Poland about 10 years ago for my studies that I was like, wow, you know, I thought I knew Polish, but I don't really. And so as soon as I moved, like everyone was telling me, oh, you're a native speaker, you should start teaching. So I just started doing conversations. I'd have like really sporadical meetings, like one-to-ones, like in a coffee shop, or I'd go to someone's houses. And it was never very stable. And I was looking for that stability, and I went to work for some language schools, the really popular ones in Poland. And I did that for a few years. I was primarily just working with kids. And it wasn't really until the pandemic happened that I started seeing that online education is real, that people want to learn. And that's when I would say my journey as a English language coach really, really started.
Cool. That sounds so good. So does it mean, just going back to your story, to your upbringing, were you always interested in languages? Were you always interested because there was a bit, you said that it was hard to learn Polish while growing up, but then you realize, oh, I don't know much about it, but then at the same time, I could probably use my English to help people in Poland. There was that link, right? So was that always something that you wanted to do, or did you discover it by an accident?
That's a good question. Like originally, when I moved to Poland, I wanted to be a speech therapist.
Oh. And
yeah, I haven't mentioned that in a while, but I remember I was in the office and the lady's like, you know, like you have a pretty strong accent and speech therapy in Poland is very, very difficult, even for native speakers. You should do something else. And
wow.
I realized everything that I liked about speech therapy, I could apply for teaching language. Like, I like correcting people in a gentle way. Like, I think I have a deeper appreciation because, like, when someone corrects my mistakes when I speak like Polish, like my parents, like some people can be very rude about it or very blunt, and so I just feel like I'm showing empathy in that way that a lot of Polish people might not get. And I teach English from a really like a hard space because I know the struggles of it. I know like how bad it feels not to be understood, or you understand a lot more than you can say. So I have a lot of empathy towards my student, and I think that's why it's also really rewarding and to see them grow.
Yeah.
And plus I've seen my own benefits. Like if I didn't know any Polish, I wouldn't be able to study for free. It'd be really hard, I would say, to live here, even though I'd say, especially in Warsaw, most people speak English very well. But if you move to a country, you should know the language. So I know all the benefits of language learning, and I'm just so passionate about giving that to other people and seeing them grow. Yeah,
I love that. This is so inspirational. I've never heard that story about you wanting to become a speech therapist. It's also so interesting that basically somebody told you that it's the fact that you're Polish is, let's say, not perfect, is going to be an obstacle, but you were able to turn it into something so like positive because you've realized, oh, but there is still the language teaching. And now you've got so much in common with those people that you could help.
Mm-hmm.
I find it super inspiring from the get-go. I love that. So you said that at first you taught kids, but it wasn't really your jam, was it?
Yeah, that was something I wrote in my post because, like, I used to teach preschool. I mean, that's why I went to school for. I did early childhood development and special needs.
Ah.
And so I did, like, I thought that was my jam. Like, I loved working with kids and just being around them. But when I started teaching them English and I would have, like, blocks, I would just come home exhausted. Like the hours were pretty good. It was like from the morning into early afternoon. And then I had the rest of the day off, but I couldn't use that time after work. I was just so exhausted because, as I later found out, I'm a highly sensitive person, which means that I'm just super more sensitive than the average person to loudness. And I think they did a study in preschools that it's like dangerously loud. Like if you stay for long hours of time, it could actually cause some the hearing damage. And they end up letting me go. It was a really weird situation. I don't want to get into it, but I think it was mismanagement from them and just me being completely new.
Yeah.
And I felt really bad. Like I felt I was like a bad teacher and therefore like a bad person. But it wasn't like later until you signing up to your courses that when I found like my niche, like my people, what are you talking about? Which is right now it's Polish professionals like or people who are at B1 but they want to improve their level. It's just completely different. Like I cannot stress to you how excited I am for every lesson. Because when I used to teach the kids, it was so much I had to prepare. I had to get toys. I had to show up physically. But now I teach in the comfort of my home. I have amazing conversations. I feel like I'm developing a friendship with my students. And I feel energized. I feel like I have more energy than when I used to teach kids. So that in itself has been really revolutionary for me, to know that I can choose who I want to teach, because that was one of my aha moments. Because as a teacher, I really felt like I have to teach everybody. I'm a native speaker. Like, I think I used to think like I have this gift, you know, that everyone should learn English for me, especially kids, because it's like the best or whatever. And then I realized, you know, I don't have to teach everybody.
Yeah.
In fact, I believe that it's a win-win for my students and for myself, that I choose who I want to work with, because it's more enjoying for me. And of course, it's more enjoyable for the student.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I honestly can't tell you how big of an aha moment that was.
And it's interesting that you mentioned that, because so there are two things I wanted to comment on. Number one, you have just told me about another obstacle that was hard. First is the speech therapy, then teaching kids not working out, and you feeling like you're a bad teacher or a bad person, but you didn't stop searching. And that is so profound. Like, so many people would give up. So many people would just whatever, like actually start believing that there is something wrong with them. But this was probably, as you say, now that you have more awareness about yourself, that it was just probably not aligned with who you are as a person, with your sensitivity, as you say. And also, so funny that you mentioned that, because I've mentioned that a couple of times, but I started my teaching career teaching kids. And because I'm very hyperactive, everybody thought I was meant to be doing that. But then I realized it was absolutely draining. I was overstimulated. Now I know why, with a neurodiverse brain. And like, while I do have a lot of excess energy, it's not the energy that everybody thinks. It's not for jumping around. It's not that energy. And that's a light bulb moment as well. So like, and again, and this actually, ties like nicely into what you said, that it's a light bulb moment, and it's surprising. It was surprising for you that you didn't have to teach everybody. I think that most teachers go through the phase of they get qualified in any sort of way to become teachers, and then they think that they owe the world to share that knowledge with everybody.
Yes.
I remember when I was in my early 20s, I was teaching kids. Then somebody asked if I could teach a teen. Then my in-laws were asking if I could teach them. And I'm like, yeah, clearly I have to, because I know how to do it, right?
Yeah.
But then it's actually a massive realization that you don't have to. You don't owe the world anything, right? And finding your people is that's when you make an impact, right? Carving out that space in the language teaching world for yourself and for your people. It's like when it's this disalignment is just magical, isn't it?
It is.
So did that moment when you discovered those are your perfect people, so basically people a little bit similar to you, right? Similar age, you are also a professional, I guess, right? Was that during the pandemic that you discovered that, or was that a little bit later?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think when. I think so. Like, man, I'm trying to think. It was definitely during the pandemic, because that's when I started getting more of those types of people, and I realized I could teach online, and there's a need for that. But I'm trying to think. I'm pretty sure like you definitely helped out. I listened to a podcast, or we talked. We had some type of consultation, and we. I remember when we did the workshop together in Warsaw. I think that's when I got like more like crystal clear, because I had like a VIP client, and I really took the time to base everything that I find from an ideal student.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it was like kind of developing, and then you got really clear at some point.
Yes.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. Oh, I remember the workshop. It was such a good experience. Like the energy of people. I wish we could do that. I hope we can do that again. Such a good thing. So actually, for some context, what kind of prompted this conversation between me and Miha was a post that he completely like impromptu wrote in my client group about being grateful for the program, being grateful for kind of discovering me. We got to meet 2 years ago in a workshop that I did in Warsaw. Then also last year, during the summer for a little picnic. Yeah. That was so fun. And then he just started listing in that same post what kind of things have changed. And that kind of, that blew people's minds. Like there are so many lovely comments and then so many likes and hearts and everything. So I just decided people need to hear this. So when did you, would you say that you've gone through some sort of a transformation? So knowing during the pandemic, like kind of realizing, okay, online, adults, I can be whoever I want. But then getting even more into that when you, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, it was a major transformation night and day. Before I discovered you, like I said, like I would have, like sometimes my ideal students, like very sporadically. And I have to share this moment because I think this is when it really changed. This was even before I joined the Rocket. I think you did like an Instagram story or like a reel, and you talked about packets. Like, you know, like just think about like offering like 3 to 6 months packages, you know, and you said the, like you get more stability as a teacher, but also your students, like they have a dedicated time and, you know, like just like treated more seriously. And I was like, there's no way, like there's no way like anyone's going to pay me for half a year of teaching. But, you know, like I listened like what you said that, like you should focus more on solving problems than like, you know, like I'm a native speaker and I teach blah, 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 like focusing on the issues. And like targeting your ideal student that way. And I did that on a portal. And I think like a few days later, one of my students saw that, I did one pack with him and he saw that I was offering for like 6 months. And he's like, I want to do that. Can you send me an invoice?
Insane.
I just want people to understand like how big of a transformation this was for me, because before I would have a student maybe once, because that's, I would pay like right after the lesson, either in cash or maybe like a bank transfer just for one. And they would have excuses or they'd like just disappear. And for like, when I saw that, like the most amount of money I've ever made for teaching, I was like, wow, this is real.
This is real, right?
And it just, that's when I think everything changed for me. That there are people willing to invest in themselves because they know how powerful speaking English at a very high level is. And that people like me for me. And it was such like a beautiful feeling. And going back to the transformation, because I used to teach so sporadically, I never really was able to develop going back relationships with my students or feeling like a strong connection because we meet so short. But now, since I treat my VIP clients like VIPs and they do pay a premium price, but because of that, I take it more seriously, they take it more seriously, and we're able to form a really great connection, and our lessons just are so smooth. And I feel so much more happier for their success. And it's what I love about it and your messages that you said, like kind of getting away from the language schools. I feel like when I working from a language school, there's always like a middleman and there's something like a barrier between a student and a teacher. But when you're doing like freelancing or your own business, I feel like it's so much easier to make that connection and to feel it and to show how you care and not to feel censored in any way and to speak your mind freely. Like, so yeah. Before I finish, and just like what you said multiple times, like you're not just a teacher, a business owner. I realize that I can, there's so many possibilities I can do. Like I don't have to just teach in English. I could do workshops. Right now, if my brother and I we're going to have our own workshop on the 16th of February in Warsaw, our first one. We're going to do improv and English.
So amazing! It's finally happening. Oh,
yes, yes. We've been in the works for a while, and so yeah, like before.
This is a massive transformation.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I honestly, like, for the longest time, I just thought I had to follow the path like every other teacher. Like, you just work for a school, you're happy with what you make, and you teach everybody. But now I have this immense sense of freedom. That's the biggest thing.
I love that.
I don't feel tied down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, what you said about how there was literally, because the process I see there is that you saw a message that I put out there that I probably wasn't thinking anybody is listening to or paying attention to. You paid attention. It planted a seed in your brain. Your brain automatically said something like, no way somebody would pay for 6 months. No way, which I think is always a good sign, actually. So like when your brain gets triggered that something is impossible, I think that's a sign that you're actually onto something. Mm. And then within the weeks, somebody pays. Like I remember you told me that because then you invested that money in the rocket, basically, and you allowed it all to grow. We talked about the improv that you're now saying it's finally happening. But the most important thing that you're saying here, and this is worth highlighting, you talk about freedom, but you said something about freedom that to me is profound. It's about removing that censorship and feeling that you can build a connection with your clients because you care about them, not just as your students in your classroom, but also as humans or clients. There are probably three layers to that, right? And I feel like this is very hard for a lot of people to handle, but at the same time, this can lead to something fantastic. I feel the same about my business. Like teachers that I work with, yes, they're clients. First they're human beings, then there are clients, and the third, they are teachers that I help. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And it feels amazing as well, right? Because you're in control. You said, as a lot of people probably think that they have to follow a path. It's like in life, like you're supposed to finish school, get married, get a house, get a kid, and there is nothing else. And same with teaching. You get qualified, you work for school, and you don't complain because you didn't go into it for the money. Maybe you didn't. Maybe you didn't, but that doesn't mean that you cannot make decent money and be satisfied and free, which you are the living example of the fact that it's absolutely possible. So I'm so happy for you. So what has changed since you actually joined my program? What have you seen? Because you said that you got clear on the target audience and what you could be offering, why it's so important to have it. So what have you been offering? What's been changing? I'm guessing now you've been sold on selling packages and not charging after lessons. What else has changed?
Oh, I mean, like, we're, I mean, like, I want to say, like, I'm not perfect. It's still like a work in progress. But me and my brother, we've been taking it more seriously, and slowly but surely we're combining our forces, because that's my brother, Adam, he's a twin for the people who are watching. So it's always been kind of difficult for us to find that balance, like what we want to do separately in our lives and what we want to do together.
Right.
And I do think the rocket did help us come together, because there were so many questions in the workbook and we'd do them together.
Oh, awesome.
So we became crystal clear on what we want to offer. Oh, I would say boundaries. That was a big thing I learned from the rocket. Setting boundaries by students, signing contracts. I never did that before, and it really helped avoid awkward situations.
Yeah.
And I was at like just taking marketing more seriously. But I mean, overall, the rocket, when I invested in myself, it was like a sign for me and for the universe that I'm taking this seriously. This is what I want to do. That was the biggest thing. And I don't want to stress this enough, like, because I mean, having success is great. Well, like what I wrote in the post, just the mind shift changes.
Yeah.
Like I said, going back to that freedom, because I see other teachers who do it like the normal way, or like they're pricing themselves way too low per hour. It's like they're just like, give me. Like they'll take anybody and everyone. And it's such like a bad place to be, you know? I feel like the rocket I took off from that. Like I will never go back to that space, to that dark.
It's interesting.
Creepy role. Yeah.
And it's interesting how I think at that stage, and I know there are lots of people, I would love to help them, like, but you need some form of maturity and readiness to be able to invest. But also to just, because I genuinely don't think that people maybe on like that shallow conscious level, they invest in the steps to take. But actually the investment is in, I trust that I'll make it, right? You trusted that you'll make it. And I think that's what you might be talking about here, the mental shift of, I'll never undercharge like that, because this is, it's like this one of those, I think it's called a new driver syndrome. You've learned the better way and you're like looking at it and you want to tell them, yeah, what the hell are you doing?
Exactly.
Oh, interesting. So are you now only working with your ideal people?
Yes. I mean, I'm still like freelancing, but that was also a big shift, because I realized I can still freelance and work with their schools and companies.
Yeah.
But I tell them how I prefer to work with my ideal people. And I would say in the last like 5 years or so, the market is shifting. I've had a lot of just job interviews with schools that they say they just want conversations, no more grammar, no textbooks, just having fun, engaging conversations. I'm trying to find more like in-company lessons, like small groups, so that way I can have more hours that are harder to get, like one-to-ones or group classes, like during the day. And then that way I'll have more time in the afternoon and evenings for my people. But like I said, every school I say, just like I say, I really prefer just be ones. Please let them be communicative. And that's also just been a game changer, because as of right now, I haven't had like any awkward situations or someone like I didn't fit, just saying like what I prefer and this is what I offer. Can you give it to me? Yes or no? That's been good. I mean, I've had to say also, I've learned how to say no with the rocket. That's been also a huge, because I used to take like everything that was given to me, like, you have availabilities, yes please. But now I really take my time, and I've said no to like a few schools that there was this one school, I think they called me two or three times, and they were very desperate for me to be their teacher, but they weren't desperate enough to pay me as much as I wanted. And then I found someone, I found a better offer.
That's great. So, Making space for better things to come, right?
Yes. I don't know, like being a highly sensitive person, I just get so excited, but I just want people to understand, like, it's such a huge different shift, like just being able to say no and just feeling that power and trusting in myself that things are going to be okay, that like that there are going to be better offers for me. And there were. And like, oh, I want everyone to feel this.
You know that. I know. I know. It's such an amazing feeling. It's a privilege, I would say. And I think it is a testament of, like, let's be honest. Yes, we're doing this interview so that people can say what working with me can do to people. Let's be honest. There is some promotional element here. But to be honest, I'd much rather people took away from this that exact shift, that actually what it takes is resilience, grit, and maturity that you had enough of to be able to invest and implement what you've started learning. Because so many people invest, but then they still don't have enough self-trust to implement even the contracts or to say the no's or to whatever. And also an interesting thing that you said, and I think a lot of people would be reassured by that success doesn't have to mean you only having your perfect clients in one-to-ones or groups or whatever, selling products and making millions. It can also mean combining work that you do with your clients and doing in-company work, but on your terms, right?
Exactly.
If that's satisfying, if that's stable, if you need a job and work for somebody, but on your own terms, that's like, to me, that's a definition of being in control in your life. So I also wanted to applaud you for that, because a lot of people don't allow themselves to do that. They think it's all or nothing, basically. They either work for schools or just go completely solo. And that might be the only thing for some people to do. But very often there is some middle ground, right?
Exactly. I just see, like, it's like a beautiful, like, a garden. When I visualize, like, I have like some revenue here and there. And yeah, it's on my own terms. So that's what satisfies me. That's what brings me joy. And
so what are the next steps? Are you going to cultivate this garden or?
Yes. What are our next steps? I really, this year, my biggest goal is to have at least one, like, private group lessons. Like I mentioned in the group, I want to slowly move away from one-to-ones and focus on small groups. I want the audience to learn, because I started doing in-company lessons. I've also learned firsthand that I like it, you know? And that's something I want to do also, like, privately. That's a big goal. Doing more workshops with my brother and I, teaching English in the improv way. We're still working out the kinks, but we definitely want to pursue that and do more local and online events. And we're gonna make a website. We batched some videos, so if you guys follow us on Twin Teach on our socials, you'll see that. So yeah, we really just focus on consistency, and I think that's the biggest thing we struggle with is being consistent and finding the energy, which I feel so bad, because you know you work with a lot of parents, especially moms, and I've seen interviews and their success stories, and I know if they can do it, so could I.
That's a good benchmark, I guess. I think personally that consistency is a bit of a holy grail that everybody aspires to, but I don't think anybody actually nails it. I think it's about the systems and saying no quite a lot and like sometimes letting things slide a bit and just being okay with it. So, yeah, sounds like you've got some really exciting plans. Like everything is working out, like pieces of the puzzle, jigsaw puzzle, are just like slotting together. It really is so inspiring. And so like this level of satisfaction that I have from everything you said, because it's like you get a certain level of satisfaction when people buy your course, sign up, ask good questions, see some results. But then it's on another level when you talk to someone after it's been more than a year and a half since you were in the Rocket.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, and talking to you now, it's like the effect is absolutely profound, and it's probably never going to end in a way, because the shifts like will always have an impact on you and how you approach your work. To me, that's like gold, absolute gold. So thank you for that as well.
No problem. My pleasure.
So what I can say is, if you guys want to take part in any improv workshops, these are happening in Warsaw soon, apparently, right?
Yes, the 16th of February.
Fantastic. Get in touch with Michał at Twin Teach. They are on Instagram, right?
Yeah, Instagram and Facebook.
And Facebook. Fantastic. Yeah. And you'll see, they look quite similar because they are twins, so it's not going to be hard to find them.
Yeah.
Anything else you wanted to add? Or I think I'm kind of speechless because this was such a deep, profound conversation. And I think it's giving everybody an opportunity to think about investing in themselves from a different perspective. It's about not about the steps, not about knowing what to do, but as we said, allowing yourself to be free and to trust yourself. And that, as you said, that everything is going to be okay. So yeah, I hope that you're taking that away, dear listener. thank you so much, Michał.
Thank you so much, Ola. And if the only thing I want to say, I just want people to really take away just the mind shift. And it's I think it's something hard to really grasp before, but it's that in itself, it's just been so worth it. I don't know. We could edit this out later, but I just, I have to say, because I did lose my job last year in March, when I worked really big language school.
Mm-hmm.
And talking about resilience, you know, that was like one of the hardest things that I went through in my life, because it was kind of like an ego death. Like I lost that sense of security. But because I had to teach our business, like I knew it wasn't the end of the world. And instead of sitting down and crying, I had that motivation in me, that fire in me, that it's time to take things seriously. And that's why I felt so inspired to write that post, because everything that I visualized, I wanted to manifest during that hard time, I always had that hope during that time. And I really feel like it's coming in fruition. So, and it's a lot thanks to the Rocket and to your wonderful work. And I hope more and more people will join us, because it's been life changing. And I don't say that lightly. It has been. So thank you.
I liked it. I like that you said join us, because this is it. Yes. We're now a community, basically, and it's so good. Also, thank you so much for being so vulnerable and sharing that hard moment. I remember you told me about that, and exactly, this is it. It's also about having enough resilience to know that it's okay. It happens. You probably have had every right to sit and cry, but you've decided to also take other things seriously because you knew, yeah, I'm fine, and I'm going to be. It's beautiful. Exactly. It's amazing. Thank you so much. I loved every minute of this conversation, and I hope you guys found it inspiring. Please do get in touch with me or with Miho on Instagram. Let us know what you thought. If you had any comments, we obviously encourage that. There's usually tons of comments from like inspiring conversations like this. So be prepared. People are going to have lots of lovely things to say. And once again, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and you guys for listening.
Thank you. Take care.
You know what, teacher? I'm so proud of you. If you're listening to this, you are ready for a change. Whether it is to quit hassling for peanuts or working with other people who don't respect you, I know you've got it in you. And my podcast is here to help you do that weekly. To be reminded of new episodes, sign up to my newsletter. It's in the show notes. You'll also receive lots of tips, support, and special offers. I'm committed to supporting you also via my coaching programs and courses. You can work with me in my flagship programs, the Rocket Takeoff or the Rocket Accelerator. The Rocket Takeoff will take you off the one-to-one teaching hamster wheel to more peace and more well-paying students. The Rocket Accelerator will help you finally launch a group class that will be perfect for students that are a joy to work with, and so you can leverage your time and do what you love while having space to breathe or read another self-development book. If you're a language school owner, I've got things on offer for you too. Simply go to my website, olakowalska.com, to check them out. Finally, please share this podcast with your teacher friends, rate it, and subscribe. I'm your biggest cheerleader. See you next time.